Have you been wanting to lose weight and get healthy? Now's the perfect time to start Nutrisystem. Enjoy your favorite foods made healthier, delivered free to your door. Right now, you can get Uniquely Yours Ultimate, our most complete foolproof plan at an amazing price. Order today and save 50%, plus get an extra $40 off. Go to Nutrisystem.com/save and discover what millions of people already know. Nutrisystem works. Limitations apply. See website for full offer details.
Hello and welcome to the Resilient Pathway to Happy Work and Life. I am Alexia Georgiou, a life coach. Today in episode 4, we are talking about the emotional climate to success. TheResilientPathway.com. You can email me direct, alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's alexia@theresilientpathway.com. I kick butt. I will kick your butt to be the best, create the best, choose the best. Welcome to episode 4. Today we're talking about emotional climate to success. Whether we realize it or not, as leaders, we are creating an emotional climate. Why is this important? Well, the climate, the culture that we work in affects our levels of engagement and productivity. Recently, Gallup published a study showing that most employees are not engaged in work. I have taken several business courses through the Wharton online program to earn a certificate in leadership and management. And one thing that I heard, it's in the leadership in the 21st century class, is that the management, the leaders, they're responsible to engage the employees. Because we walk into work, there's a culture, there's a climate, and it's their responsibility to make it conducive for us to be productive. That's what we're talking about today. So what kind of an emotional climate are you building? Fantastic question to ask yourself as you walk into work today. Make it positive. Why is this important? A negative, toxic emotional environment decreases the functioning of the frontal lobe. This increases cortisol, increases stress, and is conducive to less brain functioning. It's my passion to study neuroscience, and I just came back from this conference where there was a whole track on neuroscience, and I got to hear the experts in the field talk about this. It was so energizing for me, even though, I mean, some days it would go from 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., and I was wondering, can I go to everything? And I had to find a balance with what I choose to go to. However, it was so much fun to sit and listen in the classes, and a lot of the instructors shared the slides if they didn't have a handout. And so I'm just enjoying studying the brain and what affects healthy brain function. What I just told you is when we're in a negative environment, our brain is not going to function as well as if we were in a positive environment. It takes 5 to 7 positives for us to metabolize 1 negative. And think about it. As an employer, when you're giving feedback, isn't the purpose of it for the feedback to be received and applied? That's why we give feedback. And so that word metabolize is a powerful word. What's it going to take for the employee to metabolize the feedback? You're creating a healthy culture by approaching it this way. So if I'm in a bad mood and I walk into an office and I'm a leader, the question to say to myself is how much of this negative climate is spilling onto them, and how's it going to affect them and their productivity? Because at work, we are there to work and to produce and to benefit our employers. And it's important to have a healthy climate to do that. And the leader is responsible. Throughout my studies, I'm hearing that having a sense of community is important in the place of work, that people are looking to their employers to be socially responsible, to give back, to be caring, not only to them, also to the world. So there's a shift happening that the social responsibility is not so much on the nonprofits or on the government. It's going towards the corporate world being socially responsible in everything that they do. That makes caring and connection with the employees very important. Work needs to be a place of emotional safety, where learning takes place. There are definite things that employers can do to place the brain in a state of arousal where we are learning and functioning optimally. How effective would it be? And think about being an employee. If your employer came up to you and said, "What is the most important thing you're working on?" So in other words, they're asking, what's giving you meaning and purpose? What's important to you? What do you find exciting about your work? Hopefully most of us are in a job where there's something interesting, something attracted us to it. And that is really good to remind the employee, what is the most important thing you're working on? You know, in these happiness studies, what brings life satisfaction? That's part of the model of well-being by Dr. Martin Seligman. The PERMA model is finding meaning in something greater than ourselves. What gives us life satisfaction? What gives our work purpose? These are important questions to ask. Then the second thing that the leader can ask the employee, well, that's important what you're working on. You're making a great contribution. How can I help you succeed? So, boy, if my employer asked me, how can I help you succeed? And what gives meaning to what you're working on? What's the most important thing? I would feel really cared for. It would help me tap into the sense of purpose with what I'm doing, whether I'm thinking of that or not. And checking in. How is everyone doing? That's important. The most important thing, according to the experts, that we can do for performance of our employees is connection. Now, what I'm hearing is the experts in their field, whether it's neuroscience or leadership or positive psychology, they're integrating the findings of the Harvard 80-year happiness study. And they're saying connection is key to life satisfaction, and they're looking at the statistics. Because we have a mentality of how we were raised, the older generation. So I'm talking those of us who are like 50 and older. And why are we important? Well, we're important because we have the buying power. We have the money. And what we're spending our money on is not durable goods, according to the statistics. And this is, I learned this in managing the global firm. It was a Wharton class that I took. So those of us 50 and older, we have the buying power. We're not buying durable goods. And the younger generation, they're the ones buying the durable goods, the car, the house, the things that a lot of people, I mean, it's important to have, but it's also important to be content. And the older we get, starting at age 50, the U-bend shows that our happiness begins to go up. So it's up at age 18, then it dips, and then it starts going up again at age 50. Why is that? Maybe it's that we have a perspective that, okay, I'm 50, I have my house, I have a car. I know by now that buying another house or another car isn't necessarily going to cause happiness to me. It may be more convenient. There may be practical reasons to do it, but the statistics are showing I'm just not going to seek to buy a new house. So what am I spending my money on? Well, for me, education, because I want to learn. I believe we're all going to learn until the day we die. Also travel, valuing that experience, connecting with people. And so people who enjoy their retirement, you know, we're going towards that retirement age, whenever that's going to be, it's thinking, what am I going to do to enjoy the retirement? And it's all about experience. So my plan is I don't want to retire. I want to be a life coach. So I have a plan by the time I'm at the traditional retirement age. I want to work until I'm 90 and just have the freedom to travel the world with my work. And that is a 15-year plan that I have. It's pretty realistic. So happiness is, you know, beginning to go up at age 50, and what we care about is shifting. We're thinking about life a little differently, and that's being integrated in these happiness studies. So how does that apply to work? Well, we have the millennial generation. We have the younger generation coming up. And how do we engage them? Because they have grown up with all of this technology. And it's a different mindset. So going back to what I was saying is our mindset 50 and up that we grew up with was, and I call it old school, is I work hard and I provide for my family and that is satisfying. What's happened is that it didn't satisfy us and it's caused health issues. People my age are dropping dead of heart attacks. We're having quick memory decline in our population. And there are increased suicide rates in our population. So there's a shift to well-being. There's a shift to meaning and purpose. And this millennial generation is challenging us in a good way to think, what gives work meaning and purpose? So when I say to you as an employer, go up to your employee and say, what's the most important thing you're working on? How can I help you succeed? I bet you that wasn't happening as a mainstream thought 20 to 30 years ago. And so this is something that we're challenged by. How do we bring more engagement in work? And that's one of the keys. Connect every week with your team. Ask them, what is this like for you and what is it like for your clients, the experience? There needs to be a level of trust. And how do you engage employees with trust so they can be vulnerable with you? Is you have to exemplify that. So you have to be vulnerable yourself and say, okay, so this week, this is what my work life was like for me. And this is what I heard from my clients. And these are the steps that I'm taking. They can also, with anonymity, say, I was speaking to an employee this week. I asked them what's the most important thing they're working on. And this is what they shared. And wow, I was surprised. And this is the conversation we had. And just to bring it to a real vulnerable state, normalizing it for everyone. So the question to ask is, how much connection are we creating at work? And definitely our thinking is the driver. So that's why mindset is key. Thinking drives our success. We decide what we think on and You know, when we ask what's the number one factor that a goal can be reached, and this is according to Henry McLeod, he said the belief that it can be done. So definitely certain thinking styles affect our performance. I'm going to say it again. The number one factor that a goal will be reached is the belief that it can be done. And it all starts with the leader. The leader has to believe that it can be done and share the vision. And the employee, the team, has to believe that it can be done. There also needs to be an awareness of how hard it will be. So when we hear the word happy, we have a stereotype in our mind and we're redefining it. It's the same skill as resilience, as optimism. It's definitely optimistic to believe it can be done. And we need to look at what are the challenges that we're going to have. That's definitely being realistic. So optimistic and realistic, that's key to life satisfaction, happiness, and resilience. So the studies of learned helplessness helped us see that when we perceive that things are outside of our control, we will give up. So it's really important to foster a culture where there's a sense of control among everyone on the team. So everyone has input. Everyone has meaningful contribution. I know an example that was given in one of the courses that I was taking was a data analyst that they were just told, analyze the data. The analyst had no idea what it was for. And it was the same thing every day, hour upon hour. And the only motivation the employer was giving was, we're paying you a lot of money to do this, and that should satisfy you. And these data analysts were going back to their grad school and they were saying, you know, I'm burned out. And so the school was being real creative on, well, how can we prevent the burnout? So some suggestions given to employers were, you know, let them know this is classified data for this project, for this country. You know, bring them into a meeting and have them sit and listen so they can understand that the data that they're analyzing all day long at that desk has meaning and purpose, and that they are contributing to something greater that is meaningful. So definitely we want to give a sense of meaning, to engage productivity and creativity and prevent that passivity from happening. So why is culture important? We need a culture of safety. We need a culture of meaning. We need a culture of caring. And this is the pathway that we are taking in our future workplace. And it's very important to retain employees, and it will really reduce our cost to do that. Especially if we have a lot of onboarding costs. So these are factors to, consider. So today, whether you're an employer or an employee, ask someone in your work environment, what's the most important thing that you're doing? And just listen to what they say. And if you're in a position that you're leading and guiding and coaching them as a leader, say, how can I help you be more successful with that? And look at the response that you get. So another suggestion, begin that staff meeting. And whether you're going to check in, you know, how's everybody doing today? That will go a long way. Whether you're going to start it that way, or you can say, hey, I just want to give recognition to the whole team for. And it's important to recognize the whole team, because if you start recognizing individuals, then you know, we're really now in the 21st century in a team environment that we work together to get things done. In closing, the skill of resilience that we're building for this week is one of community and culture. We want to create a safe space for our team. We want to show that we are invested in them by asking, what gives you meaning and purpose? How can I help you be successful? We want to have those check-ins, create a space to have trust and vulnerability. And we want to talk about what is going well as a team. These are challenges. How does this have to do with resilience? You are building a team that will work through barriers with high motivation when things get tough. That is resilience. And so caring, creating a culture of caring, is our skill set that we are building.
Have you been wanting to lose weight and get healthy? Now's the perfect time to start Nutrisystem. Enjoy your favorite foods made healthier, delivered free to your door. Right now, you can get Uniquely Yours Ultimate, our most complete foolproof plan, at an amazing price. Order today and save 50%, plus get an extra $40 off. Go to Nutrisystem.com/save and discover what millions of people already know. Nutrisystem works. Limitations apply. See website for full offer details.
This is Alexia Georgiou. I am a life coach. You can reach me at theresilientpathway.com. Email me, alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's alexia@theresilientpathway.com.
Have you been wanting to lose weight and get healthy? Now's the perfect time to start Nutrisystem. Enjoy your favorite foods made healthier, delivered free to your door. Right now, you can get Uniquely Yours Ultimate, our most complete foolproof plan, at an amazing price. Order today and save 50%, plus get an extra $40 off. Go to Nutrisystem.com/save and discover what millions of people already know. Nutrisystem works. Limitations apply. See website for full offer details.
Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21. Please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.